Ciao there, I'm Ian Bagata, and I'm the author of The Native Wine Grapes of Italy, and I really hope that all the wine lovers out there will get a huge kick out of reading this book and learning about Italy's many, many grape varieties and wonderful wines that are made from them, unique and really found only in Italy. I hope you enjoy it as much as I did.
Welcome to Wine and Dine. My name is Lynn Creelo-Chamberlain, host. Listening to iWine Radio. Many people who drink Italian wine are familiar with the name Ian Dagata because, well, he is a Rome-based wine writer and educator who writes regularly for Stephen Tanzer's International Wine Cellar Newsletter and also for Decanter Magazine. He is also on staff at Le Figaro Vin, where he writes on Italian and French wines. He is the author of The Eco Guide to the Best Wines of Italy, and today we're talking about this phenomenal Bible that was just released that he spent 13 years working on, interviewing producers, walking vineyards, studying available research, tasting wines to create this authoritative guide to Italy's native grapes and their wines. This book is called Native Wine Grapes of Italy. Dagata discusses more than 500 different native Italian grape varieties, and we welcome him today. Thank you, Ian, so very much for your time.
Thank you. Very nice to be here with you all.
Please tell me the correct pronunciation. I'm not quite sure. I studied French growing up, not Italian, although there's a lot of similarity. Is it Aglianico?
Aglianico, yeah. Aglianico. The GL in Italy is a soft sound.
Okay, and how about Zibibbo?
Zibibbo, very good. Yes, I'm
Zibibbo.
Impressed.
Zibibbo, okay, so from A to Z. And you have the book broken down into, there's an introduction and then two parts. Talk to us about how you have the book developed. And I'm sure that so many people, not just wine writers, but people that are studying wine, winemakers, so many people are going to use this as a reference guide.
Well, thank you. I hope so, at least. I think the idea was to write an encyclopedia-style, compendium-style list of all the grape varieties in Italy and describe them. The more important ones are obviously looked at in more detail because there are more information on them. The first part of the book is devoted to the science of identifying grapes and the history of grape varieties, because I think it's very hard to understand grape varieties and ultimately the wine that are made from them if we don't know a little bit about grapes. And identifying grapes is actually a lot of work, and there's a huge margin of error. And so I wish to clarify to people what identical grape varieties means or may not mean.
Explain to us the difference. You start off chapter one, and you know, many people who are students of viticulture, especially, are familiar with the word ampelography. But you say ampelogy. Ampelogy, not ampelography.
Well, that's a very good point. Ampelography is the conventional term that everybody uses to describe the science of grape varieties. And it's a perfectly fine term. Everybody uses it. There are also ampelography faculties in universities all over the world. So the use of the term is ingrained. In reality, as was pointed out to me by one of the world's most famous winemakers, Jean-Claude Berouet, who was for 40 years the winemaker at Petrus, one of the world's most famous wines, certainly most expensive wines, the real term that we should be using is ampelology, because ampelography really only refers to the drawing and the description of grape varieties via the art of drawing. But nowadays, okay, we identify grapes not just by looking at them and drawing them or photographing them. We also identify them via a combination of other tests, such as genetic tests.
Yes.
Much like in the field of criminology, we use DNA to identify possible criminals. We use very much the same procedure in identifying grape varieties. But it really is a combination of the ampelography and the genetic testing. So the real name, the all-encompassing name of the science, really ought to be ampelology, just like gastroenterology is the science of gastric and intestinal diseases.
Ampelology. Okay, I've got it rolling off my tongue now.
Good, you did very well.
Okay, wow, I like that. Give people a little bit of background on yourself, as you did with me. Why do you live in Rome and in Italy, and why are Italian wines and grapes a passion of yours and actually the center of your being almost?
You're too kind. I'm actually born into an Italian family, but I was born in Toronto, Canada. My father was a psychiatrist training in Canada in the 60s, and my sister and I were born in Toronto, Canada, so I have a Canadian passport. I also have an Italian passport, but we moved back to Italy when I was roughly 3 years old, so I grew up as an Italian. However, they then sent me for high school in Canada to learn English and French, and that's how I picked up the ability to speak and write in both English and French. The passion for Italian wines was a natural consequence of the fact that growing up in an Italian family, Italians tend to drink great wines made with their local grapes.
Yeah.
It might seem strange to Americans or Canadians or Australians, but for the longest time, in most regions of Italy, we didn't drink much Chardonnay or Cabernet Sauvignon. That's not true of every Italian region, but certainly in Rome, it was true. And so I just got naturally accustomed to drinking these wines. And when I found out that the grapes that were behind these wines were so diverse and there were so many of them, it just became a matter of wanting to know more about them, as very little was written about them.
Is your family originally from Rome, from the Lazio region?
Yeah, my mother's from Rome. My dad's originally from Sicily, but he moved to Rome for university. And that's where he met my mom, as often is the case. And they met in university and got married. But I basically have lived in Rome most of my life.
Mm. I understand that beer is really taken off in Lazio as well recently.
Hey, very good. That's very true. You're really up on your stuff here. Absolutely. You can't go anywhere now without drinking a microbrew in Rome. That was never the case, I'd say even 10 years ago. But
really?
Right now, it's really, really a passion and very, very exciting.
Mm. Ian, you have the book, you've got this lovely map of Italy at the beginning. Explain to people how you have this geographically set up with different grape varieties.
Well, you know, Italy is just a very confusing country. I always like to joke and say that it's the land of organized chaos. And unless you really know it and have been to it, it's confusing. So the map is there to show people the various regions of Italy, which would be a region is akin to a state. And each region has been associated for centuries with a very specific grape variety. So interestingly, the grape varieties that grow around Rome really don't grow around Veneto, which is where the cities of Verona and Venice are, and they really don't grow in Sicily. There are some that grow in most of the country, but they really are the minority. So the map is just a visual aid to help people place where these single grape varieties grow.
And you've been everywhere in Italy, all these different regions.
Sorry?
You've been everywhere in Italy, all these different regions.
Well, you know, I live in Italy, and Italy is just, it's a small country. It's much, much smaller than California, for example. So it's easy to get everywhere in Italy. I mean, from Rome to Milan, it's a three-hour train ride now, one of these fast trains that we have.
Yeah.
So it's remarkably easy and relatively inexpensive to travel the country. And it's a beautiful country, as everyone knows. And so it was a great way to learn about something I loved and see some very beautiful countrysides and meet exciting and interesting people as well.
Mm. Ian, as you mentioned, there are only a handful of grape varieties that are common to many different regions. And so, therefore, every region kind of has its unique stamp or fingerprint from a Venice, a Vitti and a Vinny perspective. Could you please tell us why? Why all this genetic isolation?
That's a great question. Well, the great thing about Italian wines to begin with is that Italy has the largest number of grape varieties from which to make wine. Italy probably has over 1,500 grape varieties. We've only analyzed about 600 of them genetically. But the fact is that that's an important issue because you've got to consider that roughly 90% of all French wines are only made with 15 grape varieties,
mm-hmm.
and 90% of all California wines are only made with about 10 grape varieties. So this incredible wealth of over 600, at least, grape varieties makes Italian wine unique. And the reason why there are so many single grape varieties is because every little, not just region, but every little area of the region, and every little hamlet tended over the centuries to its grape and made sure that it thrived and never wanted to lose them. These grape varieties are as much a part of single areas of Italy as specific monuments may be. A Roman is a Roman, not just because he eats, for example, spaghetti alla carbonara, but also because he drinks the wine made with Roman varieties.
Mm.
It's the same thing for Ligurians and Lombards.
Oh, I love that explanation. We're going to go to a short break here. When we come back, we're going to continue our conversation with Ian D'Agata, who is the author of Native Wine Grapes of Italy. This is something that every person who enjoys Italian wines needs in their library. We'll be right back.
Hello, I'm Steve Tanzer, the editor and publisher of the bi-monthly International Wine Cellar publication, which I founded in 1985. The publication is aimed at serious wine collectors in the U.S. and abroad. Each issue covers 3 to 5 topics in great depth. On average, there are 1,500 tasting notes. And if you would like to see additional information on the publication and its contents, go to www.internationalwinecellar.com.
Hi, I'm Emilia Taragni. I'm the editor of The Silver Spoon. We have just released a new edition with over 2,000 recipes, 400 new photographs, and 1,500 pages. I hope you will enjoy it.
Thank you for listening to iWine Radio. I'm Lynn Crelo Chamberlain.
Welcome to Wine and Dine.
Ian D'Agata's Native Wine Grapes of Italy is almost your tour guide to Italy, really. I mean, you can start at the south and go north or vice versa or east to west. We're going to continue talking here about this isolation of different grape varieties, even clones that are unique to different parts of Italy. And Ian, part of what I was wanting you to expand on is the fact that there is literally a lot of geographic isolation within a region, even as you mentioned, within villages and hamlets, because much of Italy is mountainous.
Absolutely. Italy is really 70% made up of mountains or the hills leading up to the mountains. So geographic isolation is part of the history of Italy and its people. You've also got to consider that Italy really only became a country 150 years ago. So for the longest time, the people of what then became Italy were often at war with each other. So there really weren't that many friendly exchanges taking place from one area to another. And often it probably wasn't even safe to go venturing too far away from your own little area. So that is another reason why the grape varieties of Italy thrived and why they have resisted over the centuries. And last but not least, Italy has also been a poor country for many, many centuries, probably as a result of these states always being at war, these city-states always being at war with each other, and the countryside was ravaged. And because there was no national unity, there was really no national push to try different grape varieties, maybe coming from abroad. So every little region, every little city stuck with what it had and became very proud of what it had because those grape varieties identify those areas just as much as monuments or certain foods do.
What are your feelings about producers, growers, producers in Italy who are wanting to use these international noble grape varieties and making their wines? compared to
fine. Yeah. The last thing I'd want to do is give anybody the idea that I think that wines made with native grapes are better or more interesting than ones made with international grapes. International grapes, of course, are the world's best-known grapes, such as Cabernet Sauvignon, Chardonnay, Riesling. And I want to make clear that I absolutely love wines made with these grapes. And we actually grow those grapes in Italy and make many, many wonderful wines with them. It's just that some producers probably overplanted international grapes about 20, 25, 30 years ago in an effort to make wines that would be more recognizable by customers or potential customers all over the world. Because yeah. clearly, if you label Chardonnay, if you have Chardonnay on your label, somebody in Chile or California or Canada will know what that wine may taste of and might feel more comfortable in buying it. While if you have on your label something like Bianchetta or Coda di Volpe, the person may be hesitant to buy it because he or she really doesn't know what they may be getting themselves into. So I totally understand people who wanted to try the international grapes. They are, in fact, fantastic grapes because most of the world's greatest wines are made with Pinot Noir and Cabernet and Chardonnay. So nothing wrong with it. I just think there's room for both kind of grapes and both kind of wines.
In all the years that you've lived in Italy and you've been studying the vine and wine, have you noticed a progressively more tangible pride of...
Absolutely, absolutely.
Of like this nativity, Sorry? The nativity of these grape varieties that are not planted, not known elsewhere?
Absolutely. It really started in 2000, 2001, slowly. People became very cognizant of the wealth they had in their vineyards, of the uniqueness, and once they realized that they could make unique and interesting wines from their grapes, they began pushing them and broadcasting them and divulging their quality. Today, Italians are very interested in buying wines made from native grapes.
Yeah.
This doesn't mean they avoid the Cabernets and the Chardonnays, of course not, but they are definitely proud of wines made with grapes that essentially only they grow, even though people abroad are now starting to plant them as well.
It seems to me that just by nature of natural selection and what does best in any given plot on the earth of land, with the sun and the soil, the climate and everything else involved, that one would gravitate towards whatever was making the best wine, that's what they would continue to use in their vineyard.
Absolutely, of course. And that's exactly what happened with Cabernet Sauvignon and Chardonnay, which were probably are best considered as native grapes of France. They give great, great wines. And from there, everybody started planting them because people wanting to make great wines in California or Chile or Argentina looked to those grapes that were then making the greatest wines. You know, back in the 30s and 40s, nobody dreamed of buying an Italian wine at auction, because, you know, just not that great. If you look at a James Bond movie, he's always ordering Chateau so-and-so,
yeah,
and never a Napa Zinfandel or an Italian Trebbiano. So, of course, people would want to plant those grapes. But the fact is, now that we're starting to know more about many of our native varieties here in Italy, and granted, we still don't know enough, but the ones we do know more about and that are giving good to great wines are now being looked at with increased interest and are being planted more and more. Now we have Fiano in California, mm-hmm. We have Aglianico in Chile, we have Arnace in New Zealand, Nebbiolo in Australia, and many, many more.
Yes, it always fascinates me. Let me see, I just interviewed Ponzi from Oregon, and
absolutely,
I think it was Ponzi who has Arnace and Dolcetto.
Absolutely, no. Dick Ponzi is just one fantastic winemaker. And not just his great Pinot Noirs, but yeah, absolutely, you're most correct. He was one of the first to believe in Arnace, and he was making it already, I believe in the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly when I was living in the States in the 90s, I tried more than one of his Arnaces and always found them excellent. Mm. He's a very talented winemaker.
Mm. His daughter has taken over winemaking.
Yeah, it's true.
In the book, with each grape variety, you give some fantastic information, not just explaining the vine, the variety, but which wines to choose and why, and wines, you even go so far as to tell people which wines are good ideas to actually select. So not just geographically, but even names of producers?
Well, I just did that because I wanted to help people pick wines that really speak of the variety they're made with. In Italy, most of the wines can include up to 15% other grape varieties. There are a few truly pure 100% wines found, and it makes a big difference if the wine has 15% of another grape variety in it or not. So what I try to do is I try to pinpoint those wines that really speak of the variety so as to make it easier for wine lovers to compare what a wine made with Biancolella tastes of as compared to one made with Forastera. It's just meant to be a help, not really a guide with scores, just a guide to trying different wines that really speak of the variety.
There are over 500 varieties you have listed in native wine grapes of Italy, correct?
Yeah, about 540, and I could have included a lot more, but I
wow.
stuck with the ones on which we have a bit more information and the wines of which I've tried, because I probably could have listed another 100 names that have been
wow.
documented in scientific papers, but I know nothing about them, and I don't think anybody really does right now.
Oh my gosh, do you remember? I mean, in your brain, can you remember all this stuff?
You know, that's a really funny question. You know, everybody who loves wine will tell you there exists something very much like a vinous memory. In other words, wine lovers like us have no trouble remembering on which shelf, in which part of the cellar we've put a certain bottle of Barolo or Riesling. But if you were to ask me right now where I put my car keys, I have no idea where they are. So yes, I do remember very well the grapes and the wines, but I have no idea where my house keys are right now. And I'll tell you, ask any wine lover, and even the folks listening to us right now, I'm sure a lot of them are smiling because they know exactly what I mean.
Oh my gosh, isn't that the truth? And because
yeah.
so much of wine is associated with positive, fond memories of inner life, of when we discovered this, who we were with, what mood we were in, what the temperature was outside, all that kind of stuff.
Very much. And, you know, one thing that I always tell people to do if they have the patience is when they go out with friends at a restaurant or at a party and they like a wine, to take that bottle home and try to take the label off and create an album. And you can write next to the label the day you had it and the people you had it with. And over the years, it becomes like a photo album, which really brings back a lot of memories and very nice thoughts.
Well, in these days of smartphones, people can just take a picture also with their smartphone.
Even easier.
This has been wonderful. Ian D'Agata, author of Native Wine Grapes of Italy, we thank you so very much for joining us today.
Thank you.
Well, we're having so much fun here. I could talk to this man forever, and I would imagine that you could too. But the best way to talk to him is through his book. We will have links up for you to learn more. It's published by the University of California Press. Hardcover. I mean, this book probably weighs 4 or 5 pounds. You're listening to Wine and Dine. Enjoy these extra outtake conversations on iWine Radio. Ian, when you recommend a wine, was it from the perspective of people could buy it in Italy, or were you thinking people could buy it in North America, or you weren't even concerned with that?
No, I was. It's pointless to write a book about wines that people are never going to find in their corner shop. So all the major grape variety wines are found in the States, Canada, and so on and so forth.
Okay.
The minor grape varieties, no, but they're hard to find even in Italy.
Yeah.
So no, I picked wines, recommended wines on the basis of how authentic they are, how faithful they are to grape variety, but also made a point of picking those estates that basically all the wines listed in the major grape variety section and the family and group grape sections, most of them are going to be easily found in North America.
Okay, wonderful.
That increases the value of the book, because if not, it's really just an academic exercise and becomes frustrating for people.
Yeah, exactly. You're listening to iWine Radio.